Good evening, everybody. I trust we're online now. We're speaking to you from our home in St Leonard's-on-Sea, East Sussex. Francis and I moved from Eltham, London, in October 2014. St Leonard's is a 2.5 mile journey from just away from Hastings, and it's famous for its great battle in 1066 between William of France and Harold, King of England. Although the actual battle took place 7 miles further north. Francis is going to read a passage of scripture. The reading ends with a very well-known text.
Hello everyone, it's good to be here. It's Psalm 118 that I'm going to read the first 8 verses from. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let Israel now say, his mercy endures forever. Let the house of Aaron now say, his mercy endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord now say, his mercy endures forever. So I called on the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a broad place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is for me among those who help me. Therefore I shall see my desire on those who hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man.
Just before Bob sang that lovely song, and he's amazing, didn't realise you had such a fantastic voice, Bob, and you played very well. Mike was playing the Lord's My Shepherd, something that Stuart Townend made famous some years ago. And it also declares, I will trust in you alone. Back in 2007, Wycliffe Bible Translators conducted a survey to find people's top favourite Bible verse. And at the top of the list was Proverbs 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. In second place was a verse from Jeremiah 29, verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. I want to talk on that verse and the next verse, and I'll read the two verses together. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. I want to begin with a story. It's a story of a man named Jack, who was walking along a steep cliff one day when he accidentally got too close to the edge and fell. On the way down, he grabbed a branch which temporarily stopped his fall. He looked down and, to his horror, saw that a canyon fell straight down for more than 1,000 feet. He couldn't hang on to the branch forever, and there was no way for him to climb up the steep wall of the cliff, so Jack began yelling for help, hoping that someone passing would hear him and lower a rope or something. Help! Help! Is anyone up there? Help! He yelled for hours, but no one heard him. He was about to give up when he heard a voice. Jack, Jack, can you hear me? Yes, yes, I can hear you. I'm down here. I can see you, Jack. Are you all right? Yes, but who are you and where are you? I'm the Lord, Jack. I'm everywhere. The Lord? You mean God? That's me. God, please help me. I promise. If you get me down from here, I'll stop sinning. I'll be a really good person. I'll serve you for the rest of my life. Easy on the promises, Jack. Let's just get you down from there and we can talk. Now, here's what I want you to do. Listen carefully. I'll do anything, Lord. Just tell me what to do. Okay. Let go of the branch. What? I said, let go of the branch. Just trust me. Let go. There was a long silence. Finally, Jack yelled, help! Help! Is anyone else up there? Have you ever felt like Jack? We say that we want to know the will of God, but when we find out what it is, we can't handle it. Sounds too scary, too difficult. We decide to look elsewhere. A good part of discipleship is simply trusting God, trusting that he knows what's best for us. Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For God isn't trying to make life difficult or impossible for us. He will always be there for us. When he says, let go of the things that stand between you and me and trust me with your life, it sounds pretty scary. But when we let go, we find freedom and safety in his hands. Probably most of us are in lockdown. We certainly here are, and in fact, we're spending days working on our projects. There are those, of course, working on the front line, seeking to help those seriously affected by the coronavirus. Each day, the figures rise by enormous leaps, and it's staggering how something so small is devastating the lives of so many in 199 countries. The figure of those who have died is now over 30,000. The World Health Organization said it took more than 3 months to reach the first 100,000 confirmed cases, but only 12 days to reach 200,000, 4 days to reach 300,000, and 3 days to reach 400,000. When I last checked, the figure was over 700,000 cases, and over 3,300 had already died. In the UK, it's 19,522 cases with 1,228 deaths. That's up 209 from yesterday. In this verse that Proverbs introduces to us is a wonderful truth. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. What is it to trust? The English dictionary says that trust is reliance on and confidence in the truth, worth or reliability of a personal thing. In the New Testament, the word trust means to be persuaded or to have confidence. The Apostle Paul in Romans 8 verses 38 and 39 says about this of his own life. He says, I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Strong's Bible Dictionary tells us that one Greek word for trust is hypostatis. Hypo meaning under, and status meaning standing, i.e. understanding. Standing under a guaranteed agreement or title deed, title to a promise or property, a legitimate claim because it literally is under a legal standing. Entitling someone to what is guaranteed under the particular agreement. For the believer, hypostatis, is the Lord's guarantee to fulfil the faith he imbues. In the Old Testament, the Hebrew word meant to lean on or be confident in. To understand is to form an opinion or reach a conclusion about something. Solomon, who wrote the book of Proverbs, is using a word paralleling the first part of his statement with the second in the verse we are looking at. Trust, or stand under, or lean upon the Lord with all your heart, and lean not upon your own understanding. Solomon started his kingly life with God with all his heart. Chronicles reminds us in the first chapter of the second book, verses 7 to 12, of his first encounter. And it says, on that night God appeared to Solomon and said to him, ask what I shall give you. And Solomon said to God, you have shown great mercy to David my father and made me king in his place. Now, O Lord God, let your promise to David my father be established. For you have made me king over a people like the dust of the earth in multitude. Now give me wisdom and knowledge, that I may go out and come in before this people. For who can judge this great people of yours? Then God said to Solomon, because this was in your heart, and you've not asked riches or wealth or honour or life of your enemies, and you haven't asked for long life, but have asked wisdom and knowledge for yourself, that you may judge my people over whom I have made you king. Wisdom and knowledge are granted to you. And I will give you riches and wealth and honour, such as none of the kings have had who were before you, or shall any have after you. I want you to look now where you're sitting and ask yourself a question. Who or what am I standing under? Who am I trusting with my life, with my health, with my family, with my mortgage, my future, my job, my elderly relatives in this current crisis? It's reckoned that Moses wrote Psalm 91, where he says this, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him I will trust. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. And I suppose when we look at this coronavirus, we know that it is a very powerful force against many, many lives. And yet it speaks very much of the pestilence here in that passage. The psalmist again writes this in Psalm 121. I will lift up my eyes to the hills, from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He will not keep you, he that keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in, from this time forth, forevermore. Jeremiah reminds us, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. For he shall be like a shrub in the desert and shall not see when good comes. He shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness. in a salt land which is not inhabited. But, he says, and goes on to say, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. He shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its root by the river. He shall not fear when heat comes, but his leaf shall be green, and he will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. Solomon goes on to say, in all your ways acknowledge him. What does it mean to acknowledge him? Let's go back to our English dictionary. One, to recognize or admit the existence of, or to express appreciation or thanks for. Vine's Bible Dictionary says it means to know thoroughly. When Job experiences his tremendous trial, he says in chapter 19, verse 25 to 27, for I know that my Redeemer lives. He shall stand at last on the earth. After my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. How my heart yearns within me. You may remember that Job was suffering from that terrible affliction that we read about in the third chapter, when it says he just longed to scrape his body with a piece of pottery because of the infliction that the enemy had put upon his life. He also says in the 13th chapter, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Even so, I would defend my own ways before him. And he will direct your paths. Alan Robinson, one of the elders at the Eltham Green Fellowship, was on business staying at a hotel located between the two twin towers of the World Trade Center in New York. He woke up early on the 11th of September 2001 and decided to go for a walk before his meetings that day. It was about 8 a.m. As he was walking away from the building, he looked round to see the first plane hit the North Tower at 8:46 a.m. and then the second hit the South Tower at 9:02 a.m. Both towers had collapsed by 10:30 that morning, killing 2,763 people. He had been directed by the Lord. And I think that's wonderful to know that our God is able to speak into our hearts and just direct us to do things. We may not know why we're doing them, but we know that he is leading us and guiding us. And we have a choice this evening of whether we trust in ourselves or we trust God. Or as the Psalm in 118 says, do we trust in God or we trust in man? In coming to my conclusion, let me finish with another story of a man called Blondin. And Blondin was a tightrope walker, and he was famous for his acts above Niagara Falls on a rope, or I guess it would have been a metal rope, which was over 1,000 feet long. In 1860, a royal party from Britain saw Blondin cross the tightrope on stilts and again blindfolded. After that, he stopped halfway and cooked and ate an omelette. Next day, he wheeled a wheelbarrow from one side to the other and returned with a sack of potatoes in it. Then Blondin approached the royal party. He asked the Duke of Newcastle, do you believe I could take a man across the tightrope in this wheelbarrow? Yes, I do, said the Duke. Hop in then, said Blondin. Well, The Duke declined Blondin's challenge. He might have believed that Blondin could do it, but he wasn't about to trust him with his life. When it comes to God, this kind of belief is not much good to us. God is looking for followers who will trust him with their lives. So as I come to my conclusion, I want to leave with you four questions. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, or four statements. Get into the wheelbarrow. Lean not on your own understanding. Don't get out and try and push it yourself. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Make sure you're fully in and not about to fall out. He shall direct your paths. Be prepared to go where God wants you to go, where he wants to take you. And trust him to make the way clear. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we will end by singing, Great is thy faithfulness. Father, we do thank you tonight that we have a God in whom we can trust. We have someone who cares for us. As we've been reminded by Bob as he sang those songs to us, that we are loved by him and that he wants to care for us. And even though many of us maybe have underlying health issues and we are compelled really to stay indoors and self-isolate, we know, Lord, that you do care and that you love us and that we can trust you with our lives. And we do that tonight, Lord, and pray that you will continue to move through us in Jesus' name. Amen.